I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Suits with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now a part of the Decent Family Podcast. We've got a tremendous podcast for you guys. We're going to be joined by one of our favorites here on the show, that would be Rocco Miller. He is so tuned into everything that we are seeing in college basketball. Now, we did do the interview before Max Asmus of Oral Roberts decided to go to Texas, so in the final segment, I'll have a little bit more reaction there, but with Rocco, we're going to be talking a little bit more general. We did a little bit over a 20-minute conversation just talking about what we've all been seeing in the transfer portal this offseason. He's going to be mentioning some schools that have went a little bit under the radar in terms of the moves that they've made, because we all know about the offseason that the likes of Duke, the likes of Gonzaga have had, West Virginia as well, but we're going to be throwing out there some schools that are still in the power conferences, but schools that have been able to do a nice job of being able to bring in some fits, and we're just going to be talking about the landscape of college basketball as well, the expectations for coaches to get things turned around a little bit more in this day and age, how important chemistry still is in college basketball as well, what he makes just out of all these teams that are trying to get things assembled, and the way to really just build a good program and the way that many of these guys are hoping to be featured at new schools. We have been seeing quite a few guys that they had good numbers at higher levels, at teams that were actually relatively solid last year, deciding that they're going to be going to a sub-250 KenPom team and are going to be looking to turn them around. So we got a nice wide-ranging chat in segment number two with our good friend Rocco, and then in the final segment, we give you guys a roundup as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Thursday, and there were quite a few of them. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gnet_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline and the other way. That's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, and please do send these in, because we've been having some short first segments just because we don't have a ton to really be able to take a look forward to as of yet, because there's a lot of murkiness in the transfer portal, so that has been a little bit of an issue, and can't really start conference previews until we do get more answers in terms of what's happening in the transfer portal. I'm hoping that by the time late May is, we could dive into more of those low/mid-majors and then build ourselves up to the power conference teams towards the back half of the offseason. But that said, what we do have is an amazing chat with Rocco Miller coming up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now a part of the Decent Family Podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you. Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Gibbs Peterson, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and it is great to be joined by this man as Rocco Miller does an absolutely incredible job of taking a look at college basketball. He does so all 12 months out of the year. You're able to find him at bracketeer.org. He travels all across the country taking a look at these various schools. I know that right now, this time of year, he's very much working on the non-conference scheduling that we're going to be seeing for a lot of these teams as well. Working in conjunction with them to help some of these teams that maybe they don't want to be playing against a whole bunch of top 25 KenPom teams, be able to avoid that. And these teams are looking to seek them out. He's able to help them seek it out. And we always see great college basketball insights from Rocco Miller, and he always delivers. And you're able to follow him on Twitter at Rocco Miller and the number 8 altogether. And Rocco, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, great to be back on. Thank you for the kind words. How have you been?
Things have been terrific for me. Obviously, it's going to be a very long off season, but there is no rest anymore in the off season because, as you know, this has become a 12-month out-of-the-year sport. And what have you made out of just the recent boom of the transfer portal? And I'm not even talking about the last 10 years. I'm talking about the last 3 or 4 because even from just doing this podcast about 3 to 4 years ago, it's been much more rambunctious in April than I can ever remember.
Yeah, it is. I think at this point in time, you know, we probably could have said it last year. It's a 1 year at a time sport for basically everybody involved. You know, there's so much turnover, beginning with the coaches, a good average number in the last 5 years, minus a couple of the COVID years. There weren't as many changes because of just the instability of the world. But now that we're back into kind of full flowing business of college basketball, you can count on about 60 or more coaching changes out of 360 or so teams. What I tell programs is, hey, if you're in a 12-team league, you can just count on an average every year of 2 coaches changing. Maybe some years you get lucky and there won't be any, but other years you might get 4 or more. And that's pretty much just what the numbers shake down to, is basically 1 in every 6 coaches are going to be replaced, or they'll have a change for one reason or another. Now, with all the player availability to move, plus the COVID year still being in play, it makes it a 5-year cycle instead of a 4-year cycle. The majority of coaches, the large majority of coaches, prefer to have old players versus taking high school recruits or much of a chance on a young player. So even if you're at a school like a North Carolina, like a top of the line program, you might bring in 3 or 4 4-star kids as a freshman or a sophomore, and there might be another Power 5 team that's ready to play that kid next year. He'll be gone. We saw that play out with MJ Rice, for example, sat on the bench for Kansas for a year now. He'll play quite a bit for NC State next year. And that's just a numbers game. Everybody's got to prioritize winning. And a lot of programs, that means I need older, experienced guys that can grasp concepts, that can navigate the waters, that just have a little bit more talent developed instead of just raw potential. And I just think everybody's got to look out for themselves first and foremost in this process. And for a lot of guys, that means it's time for a change almost annually. Now, the things that will be very interesting to follow in the future will be once we go back to a 4-year cycle. I do think high school recruiting will get a lot more prioritized than it is now, especially with those top 50 level players to the top programs again. And then not only that, but also depending on how much the NCAA can enforce a 2-time transfer from having to sit that second time. We haven't seen that play out yet, but we do know that the portal this year will technically be closed on May 11th. But we have an NBA draft deadline that is May 31st, 20 days later. And there's going to be a bunch of tweeners that don't decide till the last minute. And a lot of those guys are going to want to hit the portal. So I don't know how they're going to be able to police that. I don't think you can really stop a kid from joining a team. Maybe that means he has to do a waiver. But we all know how waivers work, Greg. To me, it seems like the bigger brand you have, the more you bring to the table, you know, from a marketability standpoint, you know, like a national brand, like an Indiana getting the waiver today for Xavier Johnson, for example. I think the better chance you're going to be able to get a waiver for a kid that's transferred twice before he graduates. But if you're a team like, you know, SIU Edwardsville, probably going to be stuck having to sit that kid for a year. And that's going to be largely problematic if that happens, because then that kid sits for a year and then he gets recruited again the next April. So we have a lot of things that still remains to be seen.
Yep, there is a lot that needs to be shaken out, but we are getting more and more answers as the days go along, as Rocco Miller does great work over at Bracketeer.org is joining me on the podcast. And Rocco, one of the main things I've noticed from this year's transfer portal is we don't have as many guys like a Kendrick Davis from last year that I think is going to be a superstar, though Hunter Dickinson. Him being out there in the transfer portal is big. We saw Ray J. Dennis enter into the transfer portal about 24 or so hours ago as well. I think that whoever gets him, they're going to be getting a nice haul. But I take a look at this year's transfer portal, and it feels like a lot of risk-reward. A lot of these guys at their former top 100, top 150 recruits, and they just didn't get a lot of minutes at their previous school. Or in the case of someone like a Khalil Ware, a top 10, top 15 recruit, it just didn't pan out for him at Oregon. He moves over to Indiana. What do you make out of this trend that we are seeing? Because I do think that with regards to the portal this year, it leads to perhaps more gold being on the other side, but it could lead to more flops as well.
Yeah, I think you'll see it go both ways. There's certainly no guarantees, especially with some of those guys that haven't fully developed. That's just really knowing your program and your staff, and you have to kind of believe in your ability to take that kid to the next level. The good news, you know, for a guy like Ware is, you know, he's been through it at least 1 year, kind of knows what to expect going into year two. Depending on your system, maybe you can start to cater to that particular player's strengths better, maybe just a better overall fit. Everything varies so much because I think when a marriage is made, and in the portal, as you know, Greg, the marriages come quick. So you don't have a lot of time to analyze and know for sure it's going to be a great fit. So you're going to see a lot of guys that don't work out the way that everybody hoped, and there'll be a parting of ways like we've seen over the last handful of years. That will certainly continue. You know, the coaches that really work hard and find players that fit their program, especially like mid-major type teams and A-10 teams, AAC teams, they'll be rewarded for that because they'll have the opportunity to get that kid into their doors and take not only advantage of him getting another year, but also start to use that talent in a more suitable way. If you're one of like 6 5-stars playing for Oregon or for Duke or, you know, a big program, you can quickly get lost in the shuffle. And even if you're getting minutes, you certainly not have like the offense or schemes totally built for you or have the team play through you. So that's where the opportunity lies in kind of the next tier of college basketball for some of these guys. And they can really elevate their game to the next level and be the leader in some of those cases. So there's a little bit of luck involved, but I think there's also a lot of skill involved for both the staff and the kid himself. If the kid takes the time and researches like how these rosters are being shaped ahead of time, where they might fit into that roster and how these coaches might use that kid, you know, the better off for him too. So it goes both ways, but there's a reason why you see a lot of the same teams doing well with this process and some of the same teams not doing well.
Yes, I think that there is going to be a lot of intrigue with this. And you talk about guys becoming the leader of their team. Something I've noticed in recent days is that we've seen a lot of guys that they had solid results with good teams decide to transfer down a little bit. I thought it was very fascinating that Noah Reynolds, who it looked like was going to Wisconsin, is instead going to be playing for his former assistant at Wyoming, and he heads to UW Green Bay to play with Mr. Sonny Wicks. That was one that really stood out to me. Shahada Wells, who is a solid contributor at TCU, not a guy that lit the world on fire or anything like that. Him going to McNeese, and it feels like there are more and more guys that they look at a program and they think, man, this was a little bit of a rough program, but I could be that guy. And I think that this is very encouraging, and I think it could lead to even more competitiveness from these teams that were maybe a little bit more downtrodden in recent years.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's just where relationships can really pay off. Really awesome to see Sundance get that job, first of all. He's one of the better personalities in the sport. He's having a lot of fun with it early on, if you're seeing all of his tweets. They brought in an assistant coach in Pat Monahan, who's a rising star, young guy, helped big time with Southern Illinois' program over the last handful of years. You bring good people in that have good relationships and can really coach. That makes a guy like Reynolds kind of know exactly what he's signing up for. You know, if he goes to Wisconsin, for example, once one thing goes wrong, you can be yanked out of the game, and then maybe you're not getting the type of playing time you thought you were signing up for. Or you could sign with a team like in the Big Ten, and you never know who they're going to sign tomorrow, depending on how many roster spots they have. I'm not looking at Wisconsin's breakdown, for example. But I think if you're a tweener player, like obviously Reynolds played extremely well for a bad Wyoming team, but like, it's anyone's guess if that translates to a pretty solid Big Ten and consistent Big Ten program. You know, he knows if he goes to Green Bay, that's a team that's starting from scratch, redoing the roster, trying to get momentum building, get the community back involved. Being a part of that's probably pretty exciting. And he kind of knows if I go out in November and I make a bunch of mistakes, I'm fine. Like, I'm not losing playing time. I'm going to be a leader on this team for sure. From that standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, creates a lot of cool opportunities, which is why I think guys like you and I are excited about the portal possibilities. You know, we've seen some of that stuff really come to fruition in the last couple seasons. You can look through league 7 through 32 and you can find probably at least a story or two in each league where that roster would not have been possible without the portal and creating those relationships. And then creating those relationships are so important because when you're an AD at like a Green Bay, you want to hire a guy that's going to bring like 4 guys with him. You know, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but that's something that Sundance could have brought up, for example, in his interview process. You see Ryan Odom go over to VCU. He's bringing Shulga. He's got another guy from Utah State coming. They might get more, you know, so you're not just hiring a coach at that point. You're hiring a coach and a couple of key pieces right out of the gate. South Florida with Amir Abdul-Rahim, bringing 3 of Kennesaw's best players that have all played together for 4 years. That's a huge advantage for the Bulls. That's something that ADs really have to prioritize if they're not already. I think they are, but yeah, for the future, you got to pay attention to that.
And at a higher level as well, Kim English, the way that he's been bringing over a lot of the George Mason players over to Providence as well. So I wholeheartedly agree with you there. As joining me on the podcast, we do have our good friend Rocco Miller, who does great work over at Bracketeer.org. And that has been a trend that I've noticed in recent seasons. And more often than not, it really does pay off, because as much as we take a look at these guys going to new places, what have you, chemistry still works. When you have a new coach, him being able to bring over some of the guys that he was coaching up in recent seasons, I think is very important. And just teams that aren't having to go into the transfer portal, I think that there should be a premium there, because while all these teams that are bringing in 5 to 6 transfers are grabbing the headlines, it's not about winning the headlines, as you know. It's about winning games. I feel like chemistry is just still so important in college basketball in this day and age.
Absolutely agree. Not that the portal was involved, except for one player last year, but bring up Florida Atlantic. That's a team that had guys that were together for 4 years, most of them, some of them 3. One guy 2 years, and then Gaffney was the only portal player. I don't think they had any of those players were higher than a 3-star recruit, and they all came on board with Dusty early in his tenure. He got hired in 2018. I think a lot of these guys started coming off the year after. Really just dedicated themselves to working together instead of being distracted by opportunities to transfer out. Up until this run, I mean, they really wanted to capitalize on NIL once they went on the run, but up until that point, they were so focused on basketball. I mean, one of the most impressive things about that team was right after, you know, losing the San Diego State buzzer beater game in the Final Four, the press conference, I mean, was more impressive than probably any press conference I saw all year. Just the fact that all they could do is think about getting in the weight room the next day and start working their butts off to get ready to get back there next year. Those kids are just built differently. They don't have your typical 4-star, 5-star egos. You know, they were all under-recruited, overlooked. Now they've built a ton of skill under Dusty May. That's another great way to do it. And it's really hard to pull off, because typically you do have a kid or two or more, a player or two or more that have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, looking to go somewhere else after the season's over. But they've been able to find the magical group that wanted to stay together. You can tell just by how they faced all those different challenges, whether it was Memphis, whether it was Tennessee, Kansas State, whoever it was, didn't really matter. They were so confident in their own abilities. That's why that team was so different and so special compared to any other team in the tournament.
Yeah, it was so special to take a look at that. And they certainly are the poster child for being able to keep things all together. And Rocco, as we know, that's not always a possibility for all these teams. And the teams I think do a solid job are sort of the ones that they sort of find a way to spot that middle ground. Like Creighton last year, they bring in one key piece of Baylor Shireman while bringing back a lot of their core from last year. They've done it again this year. They lose Andrew Nembhard. That's a big loss, but picking up Steve Ashworth, I feel like they utilize the transfer portal to perfection. They lose one or two pieces, but they're able to get someone very nice in the portal. Gonzaga, as we know, they're losing Drew Timmy. They pick up Graham Ike. They're the beneficiaries of that move as they get Mr. Nembhard themselves. They're two teams I'm very impressed with their off seasons. Who are a few teams that really stand out to you? Because I'm sure that two of the ones I mentioned, there are some of the more impressive ones, but I know that you've been talking a lot about some of these stories are going a little bit under the radar, and I'm sure that there are a few that stand out to you that maybe not a lot of people are talking about.
Once again, Arkansas is the classic Arkansas. They've already picked up a guy that I really, really like in Tremont Mark from Houston, and they pick up Davenport, one of Cincinnati's best players. L. Ellis is a special player, even though he was on a bad Louisville team. You know, Khalif Battle, you know, they scouted him well. They like what he brings to the table, give him a little bit more physicality. And, you know, Keon Menefield, a guy that is from University of Washington, where I'm from originally, and so watched a lot of their games. He can really fill it up, and he's an exciting player. I'm really curious to see how Arkansas fits him in. You know, I think over down to the south of them at LSU, you look at a team that brought in Jalen Cook, who I thought, especially at the time, early in the portal cycle, was possibly the number one player in the entire portal at the time, especially out of the point guards. So they get him to stay in Louisiana and go to LSU. Jordan Wright's a really solid player from Vanderbilt they brought in. I think Will Baker fills in nicely to give them a really large front line, but we know at Nevada, Baker played inside outside, so he can give you a lot more than just interior play. And then Carlos Stewart, for them to get him from Santa Clara was disappointing for Santa Clara's side, but for his side, it's cool because he went to high school in Baton Rouge. He's going to be feeling really comfortable there. Really interested to see how he can perform at the SEC level, because he had a tremendous year in the West Coast Conference last year. So, you know, LSU's gone out and definitely got some guys to make things interesting. I think they're not done yet either. You know, those two out of the SEC jump out. I mentioned NC State earlier, not only to get MJ Rice, but they get DJ Horn from Arizona State, who was kind of doing it all for ASU in certain games. Middlebrooks comes over from Clemson. He's a quality player. And then Taylor from Butler, Jaden Taylor, he's, I think, probably their top guy from last year's team. So NC State's going all out trying to rebuild their roster. I could mention more and more, but, you know, I think some of these new hires like Green Bay, you mentioned, they're doing a great job of doing what they can. They got a kid out of D2 that tore it up. He was a D2 All-American coming in. Name's not in front of me. Colorado State, same thing. They got D2, I think, player of the year coming right over, played in Colorado in Division 2. So I know Colorado State's excited about him. They also, I think, picked up an interconference transfer thus far. I like what New Mexico's done to fill in for Morris Udeze. They bring in Triple J from Iona. And New Mexico's also picked up a couple other nice pieces as well. Definitely got my eye on the Lobos to maybe take a step forward next year, because we both know that Mashburn and House are the guys that make that offense go. So you plug in some improved pieces around them, which I think they've done, they should be able to take their game to the next level and compete for the top of the Mountain West. There's so many examples we can go on forever, but I think one other piece, I don't know if this will come up, so I'll bring it up. You know, there's 255 players that entered the NBA draft process. And a fraction of those are actually going to stay in the draft, right? Maybe 80 or 100 at most, because some of those guys will go overseas or some of those guys are comfortable starting in the G League. But I think everybody else that has eligibility left, they're either going to come back and hit the portal. I think most of them will, or just go back to their previous school. It's really difficult, I think, for the previous school to hold their spot, unless it's somebody like Florida Atlantic, where they have two players going through the process and they know there's a good chance they'll be back. What I'm getting at, Greg, is there's going to be teams that are sitting there waiting for these guys to hit the portal. And I think they're strategic, and I think it's probably pretty smart. Like, you look at Miami, they haven't signed a single guy out of the portal. We both know they got resources and money. They're going to be hitting these draft guys hard. This is how it played out last year, too, so we should know what's coming. You look at a Kansas State, they might get Tyler Perry. We'll find out on May 2nd. But even if they do or they don't, they've got a lot of resources ready to get guys. You look at Chris Beard at Ole Miss.
Yeah, without question. There's just so many teams out there that they are lurking in the weeds, to your point. They're going to be taking a look at these guys that are going to be going through the NBA draft process, and there's going to be another wave of transfers that are coming after this initial one. So it's going to be very interesting to see how things are going to be schemed. And Rocco, I know you do a great job of gauging all this. You do a tremendous job all 12 months of the year taking a look at college basketball. I know that this is actually a very busy time for you, because there's a lot of teams that they're trying to figure out their schedules right now. You do a great job of being able to help out a lot of those teams with that regard. And I know you've got your finger on the pulse of college basketball. So love to get people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Greg. A lot of conversations right now. In some ways, it's my favorite time of year, because I'm on calls a lot throughout the day and even into the night with staffs all over the country. And so coaches and administrators that build schedules, they're way too busy during the season to have those conversations. And quite frankly, guys like us are too. So this is the time of year where we finally get to sit down, catch up on stuff, talk about what they're hearing. I talk about what I'm hearing. A really great way to stay connected, which is why I love doing it, beyond the fact that I'm kind of a scheduling nerd to begin with. So it works for kind of both sides of that, mutually beneficial. Obviously on Twitter, you can follow me at RoccoMiller8. You know, each day I'll probably have a series of schedule updates, at least during the week. I try to take the weekends off because it is pretty time consuming during the weekdays. My website, bracketeer.org, we will be posting multiple items. So first of all, there's going to be some events, some breaking stories, where I will write articles about either an event that's about to be announced or a special matchup. There's so many things in the works. I wish I could share more. You'll want to check the site for those articles. And then the non-conference schedule tab is coming back soon. And once again, I will start basically go in order of the best leagues from last year pertaining to KenPom. So the Big 12 will be first up. That page will probably be ready to go in the next week or two. And that'll be your one-stop shop, just basically on a conference-by-conference basis, track each team's non-conference schedule. We'll have the most up-to-date, relevant information on there. And we also include like a bunch of little rumors and Easter eggs that you have to dig for, because I won't tweet about them. But it's worth your time to check on that from time to time to see where your favorite team might be going next year.
And you never know when that critical win, that critical loss is going to be what makes or breaks the team's resume in March. And that's the beauty of it all. And Rocco does so much for the sport of college basketball. He has so much great insight, and you hear it quite a bit on this podcast because he's one of the best. Always great to be able to get Rocco aboard. Big thanks to him for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And coming up next, this is the time of the podcast. I give you a roundup of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray Rock the Baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray Rock the Baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if you... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back to MLB Las Vegas for Guts Gussies with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Rocco Miller, who does great work over at Bracketeer.org, on the podcast. He is absolutely amazing at taking a look at all things college basketball. Every single time he joins his podcast, we always get smarter due to his contributions, and one of the most hardworking men that you are going to find in this sport that we all know and love. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we've seen in college basketball over the last 24 hours. Figuratively and literally, this is the biggest transfer in all of college basketball. Jamarian Sharp has decided that he is going to be teaming up with Chris Beard, and he is going to be heading on over to Ole Miss. At 7'5", he led all of college basketball in blocks per game last season with 4.1, 7.5 points, 7.5 boards per contest. I think a coach like Chris Beard is going to be able to take him to the next level, as he was playing for Slick Rick Stansberry last season, which Stansberry always has been able to do a good job of being able to attract talent, being able to get the most out of talent, not so much. Chris Beard, meanwhile, he's been just a mastermind at being able to get the most out of these guys, having to work with a gentleman that is 7'5", that's able to block shots the way that Sharp is. That is going to make Ole Miss very dangerous, and I do like what is being assembled by Ole Miss right now, as you just needed a little bit of a change of scenery in general in terms of that program, as things were not working out with Kermit the Frog Davis. But you take a look at what Ole Miss has been able to assemble now. You've got the low post game that is all shored up. I do think that this team is going to be a little bit better from the outside as well, bringing in something like an Austin Nunes is big. Brandon Murray is able to pop a few threes. Good balance overall in terms of the transfers that have been brought in by this program, and I think that this one is just absolutely massive. Of note for NC State, they are going to be having DJ Turnitup Burns back in the fold in a starter's role last season. He was able to get the team right around 11 to 12 points per contest, 5 boards, was able to do a solid job down low for them. Conditioning has always been a little bit of a concern for him, but him being back in the fold, that should be able to help out an NC State team that they do lose a lot of the backcourt from last season, but they've done a good job of being able to restock, bring in some guys via the transfer portal. DJ Turnitup Horn, he is going to be a nice contributor, in my opinion, for this team. They are still going to be a little bit thin down low past DJ Burns, but being able to get him back, that is massive as well. They also bring in Muhammad Diarra. That should be able to lend a little bit more versatility. And if MJ Rice can pan out, he was a very highly touted guy before he decided to go to Kansas and just didn't get a lot of minutes at Kansas. I think that this has a lot of potential. This obviously has a lot of potential as well. Max Asemus has decided that he is going to be transferring over to Texas. Texas is back to having a really good scoring, as for Asemus, his best scoring year came during the 2020-21 season. 24.5 points per contest, shot 42.5% from three. He was down to, I use that in air quotes, 21.9 points, 4.5 boards, 4 assists, a steal on 37.5% three-point shooting this last season. But I noticed with Oral Roberts, every year that Ace Smith was there, they were getting better and better on defense. That is going to be big because Texas, you know, always like to play some pretty relentless defense. I think that this is an incredible gift for them. So good on Rodney Terry, and this should be a good fit for Max Ace Smith, as well as you got to figure that he's going to be picking up quite a bit of the scoring load for this team. We did see Tariq Smith, who was playing at Oklahoma State last season, decide that he's going to be going to SMU. Actually began his career at Texas Tech, but he was a solid role player this last year at Oklahoma State. Was able to put up 5.5 points, 4.5 boards. Not a guy that's really going to light it up from three, but at 6'7", could be a big contributor for an SMU team that they really didn't have a lot down low last season. And I do think that for SMU, things are going to be able to work out, as it's going to be year number two of their regime change that we saw last offseason, as they brought in Rob Lanier. Very lean year for them last year, but it's just a very weird blend in general. There wasn't a lot of depth. SMU has brought in a lot of guys in the portal, and that should be able to address a lot of their depth issues. Now, I take a look at this, and I can't help but chuckle, as DeJuan Clayton is going to be back for year number 8 of his college experience. Was limited to 9 games this last year at Cal. And while he was at Cal, you know what? He put up 9.2 points, 3 assists, shot 37.5% from 3-point range. Pretty much the only time that Cal could get anything generated on offense was when he was out there on the floor. So clearly he's still able to play basketball. It's easy to be able to play basketball when you're going up against a bunch of guys that are like 6 years younger than you. But at like 25 years old, DeJuan Clayton, back in the transfer portal, and I'm sure that there is going to be someone that picks him up. So that is very interesting to say the least. Van Wilder thinks that he is pretty old as well. Tate Davis, he was playing this last year at Seton Hall. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Just wasn't necessarily the world's greatest fit at Seton Hall. Was able to see right around 13.5 minutes per contest, gave the team 2.5 points, 2.5 boards per contest. So it's going to be interesting to see where he lands, because he was a relatively highly touted prospect coming out of high school, according to 247 Sports. This is a guy that was in their top 250. So I do think that he is going to be able to find a way, get onto a program that could utilize him a little bit better. Not necessarily a guy with a ton of versatility, but someone that's able to do a solid job down low. We did see a pair of guys that were at St. John's last season decide on their new landing spots, and both of them are going to be staying within the Big East, and this is going to be sticking with the Seton Hall thing. Dylan Adiawusu, he has decided that he is going to be going to Seton Hall, and I think that this is a really good ad for them, as you had Adiawusu put up some pretty massive numbers at the end of the 2021-22 season, and then in 2022-2023, I just don't understand why his usage rate was as low as it was, because it felt like whenever they got him the ball, good things happened. As you take a look towards back half of the season, he got many more touches and things went better for him. From January 3rd on, he was a starter for the team. He was able to give the team 4.5 boards, nearly 2 steals, 3 assists, 12 points per contest, shot 42.3% from 3-point range. They didn't use him a lot in non-conference play, and the thing happened once again in the 2021-22 campaign. During the 2021-22 campaign, it was actually the exact opposite, in which they utilized him a lot early on during the season, then they went away from him. You take a look at what he was able to do in the first, we're going to call it 15 games of the season during that 2021-22 campaign. Shot 43.5% from three, gave the team 4.5 assists. He was able to fire in there 10.5 points per contest, and then they went completely away from him. So when you feature this guy, he's able to give you some really good production. I think that Seton Hall, they're going to be able to use him to the fullest. As Seton Hall, one of their biggest issues last year was three-point shooting. They want to play some tough defense. He's able to generate steals. I think that this is a tremendous fit, and he obviously knows the Big East very well. And then for Posh Alexander, not a guy that's going to go out there and light it up from three-point range. So Butler are going to need some three-point shooting to go along with someone like a Posh Alexander, but Posh Alexander has always shown that he's able to do off the ball. I just feel like he and Andre Curbelo were not a good fit in general. And Andre Curbelo, I just don't know what the fit is for him. At this point, he just feels like a lone man on a team that has to try to play 1-on-5 hero ball. And fortunately for Butler, I mentioned that they do need some shooting around him. They brought in DJ Turnitup Davis, a 40% three-point shooter from UC Irvine a season ago. He is going to be joined as well by Jabal Telford, who was the top scorer at Northeastern last year. But for Posh Alexander, last year was just a little bit of a washout from a little bit over 10 points per contest. Still had 2 steals, 4 assists per contest, shot just 32% from 3. But you take a look at when he was able to actually function during the 2021-22 season at St. John's 2 years ago. more like 14 points, 2.3 steals per contest, was able to be very effective with 5.5 assists to 2.4 turnovers per game, so relatively solid in terms of not turning the ball over. I think that this is a good get for Butler. Butler going to need to continue to add some shooting, but if you can add that shooting around someone like a Posh Alexander, I think that that's going to be working out very well. This, I think, is a very good ad. Kudus Wahab, he was playing last year at Georgetown. He has decided that he is going to Penn State. Penn State has been quite active in the transfer portal over the last few days, as they also did pick up Puff Johnson about 48 hours ago. But I really do like this ad for them, as Wahab, you take a look back at the 2020-21 season when Georgetown was able to make the NCAA tournament. He had that year 12.5 points, 8.2 boards, 1.5 blocks per contest. Has familiarity with the Big Ten, where at Maryland he was averaging more like 8 points, right around 5.5 boards at a block per contest. This year at Georgetown, he had some not so great numbers down low, 7 boards, 9.5 points per game, but that's because Georgetown was a complete and utter mess. Now being able to get the tutelage of, oh, I don't know, an actual coach, I think that that is going to be able to help him out. So I do like this at for Penn State, a Penn State team that I think is going to be a very fascinating one for this upcoming season under the tutelage of Mike Rhodes, and with Kudus Wahab, he's used to playing in an up-tempo system as well. Darian Ford just really didn't see the floor in general for Arkansas this last year, but is a former top 100 recruit. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. His numbers this year from Arkansas, not notable at all. 0.7 points per contest. You really have to just go back to what he did during his high school years, and this guy has really good measurements. He's a good freak athlete. He does need to work a little bit on his three-point shot, in my opinion, but I think that he could be a relatively good combo guard. I do think that his passing is a little bit underrated as well, so I do think that there's a little bit of a hidden gem here in the transfer portal. So we're going to see where he ends up. We know where this man is going to be ending up. Jackson Brenchley, he was playing this last season over at Utah. He has decided that he is going to be going to Denver. Just really didn't see a lot of minutes this past year for Utah. His biggest year actually came during the 2019-20 season, where he was able to average 4.5 points, 2.4 boards. He's someone with size that's able to pop threes. That year, shot about 36.5% for three-point range at 6'5". For his career, only about a 30% three-point shooter, but we've seen Denver do a very solid job being able to utilize some of these guys in the transfer portal that were maybe a little bit of cast-offs. We saw this last season with Lucas Canusas, who just couldn't get out there on the floor for Stanford. He turned into a guy that was able to give the team 10 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. I think that is very realistic for him. Lucas Monroe, he has decided that he is going to be going from Penn, and he is going to be staying within the state, and he is going to be going to Drexel for Monroe. He was able to do a solid job down low for Penn this last season. Was a little bit more of a defense-oriented player that saw some starts, has never really been the world's greatest three-point shooter at 30% from three, and he just did a good job of knowing his role with Penn. Nice player with 5 points, 6 boards, 2 assists per contest. A master of none, but very good at very, very many type of guy for Drexel and what they're looking to build. I think that this is absolutely perfect for them, as Drexel, they were a slow, grimy team that hung their hat on defense last year under Zach Spiker. Spiker is someone that used to coach up at Army. Getting someone like Lucas Monroe, I think that this is a perfect fit for all involved. Tyrone Williams, he this last season was playing at Oregon, and he has decided that he is going to be moving on over to Old Dominion. Just really didn't see a lot of minutes in general. Was a very highly touted junior college transfer from Grayson, Texas. He only averaged about 2.5 points, 2 boards per contest. You take a look at what he was able to do at the junior college level, and this guy was absolutely explosive. And we've seen Old Dominion as well have a lot of success when they have brought in some of these guys from the junior college level. As you just take a look at what Tyrone Williams was able to do 2 seasons ago at Grayson College, and he averaged like 27.5 points, 6.5 boards, 2.5 assists, shot 43.5% from three as a 6'5", a little bit of a combo guy. And Oregon has just not known how to utilize these transfers in recent years. It's been very interesting to find. So he is deciding to go to Old Dominion, and I think that this is a very good get for them. Majak Koth, he was playing this last season at Northwestern State. He decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Began his career at San Jose State. Actually, if you want to go back even further, he was a relatively highly touted junior college transfer when he was at San Jose State. Limited sample size, but was averaging right around 7.5 points, 5 boards. Just could not find his way in Northwestern State. Only averaged 2 points per game, but at 6'8", he's got relatively good versatility. He's able to do a very good job of being able to man things down low. He's got good hops, so we're going to see where he is going to be ending up. We are seeing more and more of these as well. Like Vincent, Michevic. He was playing this last season at UW-Milwaukee. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. This is very easy for handicapping. All you need to note is that Mr. Michevic, who began his career at Incarnate Word, couldn't find his way with UW-Milwaukee, though 2 years ago at Incarnate Word was actually a starter with right around 7 boards per contest. This year at UW-Milwaukee, 2 rebounds, 1.3 points per game, but all you need to note is that this man was at the D1 level last year. He is no longer there. Cross him off your list of guys that you need to evaluate and move on, so nice, clean, and easy there. And all Patriot League rookie performer and C.J. Fulton has decided that he is going to College of Charleston. College of Charleston, they're a team that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. They love versatile players. I think that they're going to love C.J. Fulton. This last season over at Lafayette, averaged 10.5 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, shot 38.5% from 3. Doesn't necessarily master one thing, but he's very good at knowing where he is on the floor. The one adjustment is that College of Charleston plays significantly faster and more up-tempo than Lafayette, but this is a kid with a very good skill set. He's very willing to do whatever it takes for his team, and I think that he is going to fit in very well with this College of Charleston system, and that helps out the fact that College of Charleston, they're looking to stay very, very deep in terms of their rotation. Joseph Yusufu, he has decided that he is going from Kansas, and he is going to be heading on over to Washington State. This is good for Yusufu. Last season over at Kansas, just saw limited minutes, 4 points per contest, only shot about 29% from 3. Last time he was really given legitimate minutes, that was at Drake. He was pretty much their sixth man on that team during the 2020-21 season that made the NCAA tournament. He was averaging a steal, 13 points, shot about 38.5% from 3-point range. I think that he could be sort of like what Tyrell Ghost Roberts was for them a few seasons ago. A guy that'll give you double figures, a guy that'll knock down some threes. Not necessarily the world's greatest facilitator or anything like that, but I think that he could be a nice microwave scorer out in the Pac-12. So I do like that move. Latre Dothard has decided that he is going from Utah Valley, and he's going to be heading on over to Oklahoma. Oklahoma has been very interesting the way that they have been operating in the transfer portal, because I do think that Oklahoma is going to be looking to get to that Porter Mosier just style that they had at Loyola Chicago a few seasons ago, where they were playing super slow, super grimy, but based around guards, positionless basketball, and I do think that he's got the pieces to be able to do so. Dothard was able to put up some good numbers this last year at Utah Valley, 13.5 points per contest, someone who's always been a good three-point shooter. His career average of 37.8% per 3 at 35.6% per 3. This was actually a career low for him this past season, but he's joined by Javion McCollum, who is one of the better scorers out there in the Metro Atlantic, Rivaldo Soares, who couldn't find his way at Oregon, but he was a relatively highly touted junior college transfer, and Johnny Ugly, your 2 seasons ago, was Pittsburgh's leading scorer. So I do like what Oklahoma has been doing in the transfer portal. I think the big question is, how are these pieces all going to fit together? Because they do have a lot of good pieces. The question is, the fit itself. This is going to be an interesting fit, as Trevon Blazengame, he was playing this last year at Fairleigh Dickinson. He has decided that he is going to be going to Idaho. Blazengame is one of those guys that went up from the non-D1 level up to the D1 level, so I do think that this is going to be a relatively solid add for them, and this is someone that I think has a little bit of an upside. He was able to only give the team right around 2 points per contest last season over at Fairleigh Dickinson, but I do think that given a few more minutes, given his skill set, he was mostly a 3-point shooter in high school. He should be able to do some nice things, and he is from the Pacific Northwest, actually a kid from Auburn, Washington, so he's heading quite a bit closer home. We saw Duncan Boom Boom Powell decide that he is going to be going from North Carolina A&T, and he's going to be going over to Sacramento State. For Mr. Powell this last season, solid all-CAA freshman performer. He played one game during the 2021-22 season with North Carolina A&T, medical redshirt there, but 8 points, 5.5 boards per contest. Not a guy with like amazing versatility or anything like that at 6'8", 225, but exactly what Sacramento State is looking for. Sacramento State, slow, grimy team, is looking to just really drag you out and is looking to just be able to find their opportunities to pounce, play some good defense. I think that he's going to be able to check those boxes, and they do get with him a scorer as well in Brandon Betson, Betson was playing this last season over at Tulsa and was one of the few guys for Tulsa that could make an outside shot. Shot 41% for 3, 9.5 points per contest. 2 seasons ago at Chicago State was an even better score. 14.2 points, 3 assists, shot 37% from 3-point range. Relatively well-traveled man, but a guy that for Sacramento State they badly need, because Sacramento State, they rely upon defense, they rely upon 3-point shooting. They address both needs on Thursday. I like what they're doing there, and I like the fact that B.J. Mack is heading on over to South Carolina. This should be a good get for South Carolina. 6'8", do-it-all sort of player that last year averaged 16.5 points, 5.6 boards from 3-point range, shot 33.5% from 3, down from the 44.8% from 3 they shot 2 seasons ago. 6'8", 250. I know that they brought in, South Carolina did, a few guys that I felt like were undersized for the conference a few seasons ago. Guys like Hayden Brown and company weren't fits. B.J. Mack at 6'8", 250. He's got much more of a frame that I do think is going to bode well for this conference. And then Jacob O'Connell, he was a little bit more of a role player this last year at Princeton. He has decided that he is going to be going to Merrimack. We have seen Merrimack just be able to find gold in some of these guys. Now, for O'Connell, he put up right around 1.5 points, 1.5 rebounds per contest. So I can't say that I expect him to have a massive impact for the team. But at 6'11", 240 pounds, he's got a good body in Merrimack. They've always done a good job of being able to coach these guys up. Joey Gallo, I never doubt him. And something else I don't doubt is that we are going to continue to get lots of news and notes this college basketball season. And I'm going to be staying on top of all of them. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, @JN_D1. Keep in mind, Larsium, the mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks to Rocco Miller. He does great work at Bracketeer.org and does a lot in terms of college basketball scheduling. He joined me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, which means I am going to be coming at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.